I was thinking of a statement this morning that's written about Abraham in Romans chapter 4. It's an amazing expression. I don't know how many of you have noticed it. In Romans 4, you know, when he had no children, and because his wife was barren, he could have no children. He himself was capable of having children, Abraham. But his wife was barren. And yet God had promised him in Romans 4, verse 17, a father of many nations I have made you. When God called him, his name was not Abraham. His name was Abram, A-B-R-A-M, meaning highly exalted father. He was a big shot. What's the use of being a big shot if he didn't have any children? God said, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your name to Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. And, supposing in those days you had to go to some registrar's office to change your name. And Abraham goes to the registrar's office and says, I want to change my name. What's your new name? He says, father of a multitude. Okay, how many children do you have? None. Are you sure? You want to change your name to father of none or father of a multitude? No, father of a multitude. That was faith. When he didn't have a single child to believe that he'd be the father of a multitude. How does that apply to us? When you don't have victory over any sin, to believe that you'll have victory over all sins. When you're defeated in every area, to believe that you'll be victorious in every area. That is faith. You have no children, call me the father of a multitude. That's what we see here. Because God had told him. Because it was only based on God's word. He did not look at himself. Because if he had looked at himself, there was no hope. So, he believed in a God, verse 17, who can give life to the dead. I mean, there is no greater miracle than giving life to a dead person. Healing of the sickness is not such a great miracle. Giving life to the dead. And even if you are dead in sin, to believe that God can give life to the dead. Every person whom Jesus raised from the dead was a testimony that God can give life to the dead. And not only that, here's something going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. God can call into being something that does not exist. Right in the beginning, God says, let there be heavens, and there were the heavens. Let there be the earth. That was the earth. In a split second. All in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. What you read in the rest of Genesis chapter 1 is not the creation of the earth. The word is creation is not used there. That's only in verse 1. It's because the earth got corrupted through the sin of Lucifer, who became the devil. God had to remake it in the remaining verses of chapter 1. But creation of the earth was from nothing. He called into being something that did not exist. This is the example mentioned in Romans 4 for our faith. I mean, you have maybe a victorious life that does not exist. In other words, you don't have a victorious life. Do you believe God can say to you, I'm going to give you that? It wasn't Abraham struggling, it was believing. Lord, if you have said it, it will happen in my life. I'll tell you, I was defeated, thoroughly defeated, and I think God allowed me to sink into the depths of defeat in my own life in order to show me that I was no better than any other human being. And that's something I'm convinced in my mind. The two revelations I got in my life, one was that Jesus came just like me, was tempted like me, and overcame sin. And the second was that there's no difference between me and the worst human being, terrorist or suicide bomber. There's no difference between me and any human being. You know how that has helped me? It has saved me from despising other people. You may believe that Jesus was tempted like you, but I think if you despise somebody, that proves that you feel you're better than him. And I have a feeling that many of you, I'm sorry to say, look down on others who are inferior to you in some way. And I want to say to you, that is the reason you're defeated. And if you continue like that in 2018, at the end of 2018, you'll still be defeated. Can you ask God to give you one? Maybe you've got a revelation. Jesus was tempted like you. He overcame. Can you ask God to give you a second revelation? That there's no difference between you and the worst terrorist or suicide bomber in the world, or the most adulterous fornicator in the world. There's no difference between you and them. Once you get that revelation, it'll be easy for God to lead you into victory. And it's because you haven't got that victory hasn't come. Abraham was convinced that his wife could not bear a child. It was not a question of, let me try some more. No, he cannot bear a child. Zero. But he said, God has said it, so God has said in Romans 6:14, sin will not have dominion over me. Okay. The question is whether you're going to look at that promise in 2018, or you're going to keep on looking at how you struggled and been defeated throughout this year. Then you'll continue to be defeated. It says here, because God had said, this is the expression I want you to see, verse 18, in hope, against hope, he believed. In his case, it was to become a father of many nations when he had not a single child. And in your case, it may be to get victory over all sin when you haven't even got victory over one. Is there somebody here who has not even got victory over one sin after being here so many years? This is for you. Some of you got victory over a few sins, but somebody who hasn't got victory over even one, not even one child. God says, as the stars in the sky, that's how your victory will be. Now, you don't have hope, but it says Abraham was like that. In hope, against hope, he believed. In your case, that sin will not have dominion over me. And he did not become weak in faith. Verse 19. There are two things he did not look at. And there are two things he did look at. He looked at God's promise. For himself and for Sarah, both. Then he looked at his own body, dead. In the beginning, he could produce one son through a servant woman, Hagar. That time he was not impotent, because he could produce a child, Ishmael. But God waited till he became impotent. At the age of 99, it says, now there's no hope. Now you and I can't produce a child. It says here very clearly, his own body was as good as dead. That's not when he produced Ishmael. That is 16 years after he produced Ishmael, he was dead. And incapable of producing a child. About 100 years old. And Sarah's womb, dead. Okay, he looks at himself, dead, Sarah's womb, dead. I mean dead in the sense that can't produce a child. But then he looked at God's promise. I'm not going to waver in unbelief. See, I feel that many of us have wavered in unbelief. Sin shall not, no sin will rule over you. And you say, well, it's still ruling. It's like Abraham saying, another year has gone by, no children. Another year has gone by, no children. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 16 years went by, no children. But he did not waver in unbelief. He grew strong in faith, not because he was looking at himself. He says, I know my body's dead. It's like a man saying, I've tried for years to get victory. I can't get it. Some of you are still trying, but some of you have given up. It's the ones who have almost given up, they are the ones close to victory. He was convinced that he could not produce a child, and he was convinced that Sarah cannot produce a child, but he said, God, you've said it. You said I'm going to have one. Oh, I'm going to glorify you. How do you glorify God? By believing what he has said against what you see in yourself. That's glorifying God.